Well, good morning again, everybody. This is Brother Ephraim again on the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. I'm glad you called in this morning. It's a beautiful Friday morning. This morning, I want to look at probably a well-known verse. It's a very special, very precious verse found in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and it reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I'd like to take a serious look at this verse. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." What is salvation? What is that talking about? Well, we all know it's talking about going to heaven after we die, right? That is certainly part of it. But it's talking about much more than that. I looked the word salvation up in the original meaning, and it's deliverance, preservation, and safety. So, yes, it is deliverance from hell, but it's much more than that. It's deliverance from ourselves. It's deliverance from our sinful nature and from the sin around us, from the wickedness in this world, and the evil men and women that want to destroy us. It's safety as we walk through this life, keeping us from falling, keeping us from deception, keeping us from sin that our flesh would go after if it had its own way, if we were walking in the flesh. It's preservation. And so it's very much not just talking about the future, but it's talking about everyday life, our present age. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29 and 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These verses are for everyone on the whole earth. It's for you and me and for everybody from the north to the south pole. And everybody is laboring that's not in Christ. Muslims are laboring. They're striving to follow their Quran. They're, 5 times a day? They bow towards Mecca and pray. And, you know, all the strife that's going on in the world, in Islam, there's a labor there that they haven't found rest from yet. The Hindus labor, trying to serve all their gods and trying to better their lives, hoping that they can come back in the next life as something better, not as something worse. The atheists labor. They labor trying to prove away God, trying to dream up or come up with some kind of reason why they're not accountable to God. And they labor trying to put away the account of creation. They come up with all kinds of evolution theories and stories and try to deny that there's a God in heaven that created all things, and that we are accountable to. We are created in His image, and someday we'll stand before Him, give account of our life. The atheists labor to get away from that and to deny it. But every day, I believe they still have a conscience, they have a heart that's telling them that this is not the true way. They labor trying to convince themselves that it is. The dead in sin labor. Sin is a master, it's a slave driver. And we cannot deliver ourselves from sin. We can't overcome sin by ourselves. We can come up with all the willpower that we have, and we might be able to make a new resolution and maybe better our lives for a bit, but we'll fall right back into sin. And oftentimes, we fall into it deeper than we were before. And this is this is important that we see that we cannot deliver ourselves from sin. We cannot overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to Jesus involves being done with our own yoke, our yoke of sin. This is our yoke. We have to acknowledge it, that our yoke is sin. We have no other yoke. We need to lay down our own yoke, confess our sins, get rid of our sins, be radical, and come to Jesus. Take up his yoke and learn of him. Let's see, I have my notes a little bit backwards here. I'm trying to go through it in the right order. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I was going to say next that men in the past, like Augustine, Martin Luther, and John Calvin, have done much in trying to separate faith from works. And I tie this in here to say that to take up the yoke of Christ is all-inclusive and includes our life. It includes everything we are. And the same way in our verse that we started out with, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven except in Jesus Christ. And this salvation speaks of our everyday life. It speaks of our works and the things we do. God, Jesus Christ, saves us from our own way, and he gives us a new way. And this way comes by faith. But one point that I want to bring out this morning is that faith and works are combined. You cannot separate them. James tells us that faith without works is dead. Yet these men that I just mentioned, they did much in trying to separate faith from works. Martin Luther didn't like the book of James. He threatened to tear it out of his Bible and to burn it. He called it an epistle of straw. He didn't put any stock into the book of James. It talked too much about works. He wasn't comfortable with it. Yet you see these men quoted more freely than Christ himself many times. You see many quotes around by these men. One of the quotes that Martin Luther said that is very well known is that Christians are like snow-covered dung heaps. This is very anti-Christ. It's not at all what Jesus taught. He said, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, then shall the outside be clean." He was speaking to the Pharisees. They were far overly concerned about their appearance, how they appeared to men, and their outward appearance. They tried to make everything just right on the outside, but they were not looking at the heart. Their heart was filthy. Jesus said they were full of dead men's bones. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into the same category here. There might be several categories that would fall under this. There are people that still are very, very careful about their outward appearance. They want to be separated from the world. They have their standards. They want everything to look just right, but they're not looking at the heart, and their heart is still filthy. And then you have the other group that's very common in the world today that is saying that works don't matter. Works are dead. Works are filthy rags, they like to say. Oh, they love this verse in Isaiah that they quote. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. This is about all our righteousness are as filthy rags. People like to quote that. You hear it. And there is an application that is right, definitely. If we're trying to work our own salvation and we're trying to do it on ourselves, we're not looking to Jesus. We're not washed by his blood. We're still laboring in our sins, laboring to obtain salvation. Those things are filthy rags. But Jesus wasn't talking about filthy rags when he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Neither was Paul talking about filthy rags when he spoke to Titus, saying, "This is a faithful saying," I'm quoting in Titus 3, verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." He wasn't telling Titus to be careful to maintain filthy rags. So we should be careful how we quote this verse from the Old Testament. It does have an application, like I said, but it's far overused. And there's still a lot of thinking around that comes from this type of thinking, from these men in the past that did much in trying to separate faith from works. You see it in bumper stickers like I saw yesterday. It said, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." Okay, is there any truth in that? Well, there probably is. There's probably more truth to it than there should be. But what audacity to say Christians aren't perfect when Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And there's other scriptures that tell us to be perfect. And maybe we put perfect too high up on a plateau somewhere. It simply means being mature, being complete, having no part lacking. And we should break our hearts. We should come before the Lord in brokenness and in prayer if we see that there's still anything in our lives that isn't the way it ought to be, and cry out for that perfection that He wants to give us. But when our lives are lacking, or we have sin in our life that we're not acknowledging, not confessing, then very quickly people start doing this. They try to justify themselves. They try to rationalize their sin, and this is what happens. They start saying it's only by faith. You know, God knows my heart. You know, works don't really matter. And yet Jesus made it very, very clear that works do matter. Is it only by faith? Yes, it is. We cannot work the good works that He calls us to in ourselves. We cannot. We must come to Jesus. We must hear His word. We must confess our sins. We must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then He gives us the victory. He gives us power. He gives us what we need to be overcomers. In John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." If we are Jesus' sheep, and He is our shepherd, we hear His voice, and we know Him, He knows us, and we follow Him. Following Him includes following His word. That's who He is. The things He spoke, the things He taught, that's who He is. We cannot divorce the things He said from who He is. My time's up. I'll close this. I'll probably come back to this subject tomorrow morning. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And 099, you can leave a message. We'd love to hear from you. And also, I want to give you a number to call into Saturday morning Bible study. This is tomorrow morning at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Call 1-218-862-1300, and the ID number is 525-819. If you want to write this down, I'll say it one more time. 1-218-862-1300, ID number 525-819. Again, you're welcome to listen in tomorrow morning, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Look to Jesus.